Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
This wasn't the adventure I had in mind when you said, let's rent a car in Italy.
Relax, GPS says we're on track.
Wait, does that sign say Switzerland?
No. We should be near Sicily.
Routing.
Wouldn't actually enjoy your next trip, one that's completely mapped out? With Colette Small Group Explorations, you can. Our experts handle every detail, from great food to unique stays and local connections. Start your next adventure today. Visit GoColette.com. That's go, C-O-L-L-E-T-T-E.com.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
On News Talk.
And this is Anton in for Pat. In a few short weeks, days in some cases, 4 and 5 year olds across the country are going to take their first steps inside the primary school gates. It can be a joyful, can be an exciting time, but it can also be quite anxious and worrying for children and parents alike. Here to discuss this, we're joined in studio by Sinead O'Moore, who is host of the Stretch Marks podcast and has a daughter due to start primary school shortly. And we're also joined on the line by clinical psychologist Mark Smith. Sinead, can I start with you with that thing of for whom it creates anxiety? Is it stressful on the kids or is it stressful on the parents?
She's fine. I'm a mess. to put it quickly. So I remember for years working in offices and I'd see parents come in on those first, you know, the 1st of September, and they might come in that little bit later than usual. And, you know, you'd know, you'd hear a little bit about school starting and a buzz, and they'd come in and the sunglasses are on and there's red eyes and there's a little bit of sniffling. And there's a kind of sense of like, just go easy today, you know, take it easy. And I'd be sitting there thinking, but have they not been in creche for months or years at this point? Like, how is it so different?
Is it not that the fact that it's a rite of passage that marks a phase ending?
Well, I get it this year. I will be that woman this year. So it's a feeling of they're growing up. Their little hands are running away from you. You have done so much to get to this milestone that you've controlled and you've created. But this is the beginning of them stepping off and being themselves. It's terrifying.
Do you think for some parents it can be deeply insulting if the child doesn't get upset? You know, the way there are some kids that just go, see ya, and disappear, and you can see a shell-shocked parent thinking, oh, I thought that would be more dramatic.
I think it is. But then on the other hand, maybe flip it and look at it as though, look what you've created. Look how confident they are and how their sense of self and identity and how they just trust the world. And that comes down to the environment that you've brought them up in.
So, Mark, if you're preparing for this, if you've the couple of days left to get the child ready for going back to school, what do you recommend?
I recommend starting now if you haven't done yet. So kids thrive on routine. So it's important to get them back in routine now. So if you're driving your car, you don't go from fifth gear into first and think that all is going to be okay. You don't pull the handbrake. So what you want to be doing from this week is getting them to bed that little bit earlier every evening, starting into routine. Maybe for the younger kids who are starting, matching their snack times and their lunch times to what they're going to be having there, so that they're used to this. Maybe even doing a drive by the school if they haven't seen it before, to give them a sense of familiarity with it.
Do you do anything to inculcate in them a desire to go to school? Do you sell it to them, or do you soft sell? Do you talk to them about it?
I think you keep it pretty low key, because the more you talk about it, the more that you can build it up into something that's quite a big thing for them. And we got to remember, these are 4.5, 5 year olds. So we're talking to them, if we're using this kind of language primarily to talk to them about it, we're believing that they process the world in the same way that we do through language. So the younger the child, the more they'll do it through routine, through consistency, but also through seeing it. So it is about the parents being ready to support them rather than the kids themselves. So the routine this week, the night before, having the uniforms out, the lunch is ready, so that on that morning itself, the less that the parent is stressed where possible, the less stressed the child is going to be.
Well, on that note, Sinead describes the emotion that she is expecting to feel as she goes through her daughter going into school for the first time. How do you prevent that seeping out of you and the children picking up on it? Because they're very good at noticing the unspoken.
Kids deal very well in nonverbal, so they see it. They've been tuned into us and practically joined at the hip to us for 4 or 5 years beforehand. So they're very much tied into our emotions. And I think it is about just reassuring ourselves that, you know, that we're handing them over to very competent, experienced teachers, that we have to trust that they will look after our kids. We've done it every day with creches and with childcare staff who've looked after our kids. So will the teachers. But it is in taking that big, deep breath, allowing that anxiety to pass as parents. And then, you know, we can be emotional afterwards. That's perfectly okay. But where possible, not in front of the children, because that will make them worry that there's something to be worried about.
You mentioned getting into the routine. A text saying, I understand the worry about a child starting school for the first time, but my 3, 6, 8 and 10 all struggle getting back to the same routine of school. There's fights over early bedtimes. There's fights over the return to school activities. And it is the same every year. Sinead, have you done that process? Have you been working the bedtime earlier?
No. No, and I'm listening now going, how have I made this mistake? No, if anything, the last few weeks, it has continued to slip and slip and slip that little bit later. And I think this summer for us as parents, it was really important to give her that like proper summer. I have felt like when she was, you know, the summer she turned 3, the summer she turned 4, lockdowns. So the summer she turned 5, it was all about fun. Say yes to all the play dates, say yes to all the activities, the ice creams, the stay up late, the sleepovers, keep saying yes. And now it's like, oh, she's going to have to sit down next week for a few hours and listen and follow rules and come a little bit back down.
Which is hard when you're 5.
Yeah, really hard when you're 5. So yeah, I think we might have to build a little bit more structure over the next few days.
What about the responsibility that is now on your shoulders? Because when they are in creche, the job of the parent when they return is to admire their output during the day. A beautiful colouring, I love that thing that you've made. But now you're required to sort of step in and know bits and pieces of Irish and the odd bit of geography.
Oh, well, listen, the moment I put down the pen doing my Leaving Cert 20 years ago is the last time that Irish was in my head. Now, I'm as patriotic as the next person, but something occurred where literally it all fell out. And now I'm going to have that moment of sitting down and beginning to kind of reintroduce myself. However, I'm coaching myself by saying I will learn at her pace as she goes through the school. So that's what I'm going to try and do.
Tech saying, my little girl started school last year and loved it, but after the first week declared that she was done, and it took some convincing to get her to continue. What about that situation, Mark, where you get them over that initial hump, which a lot of parents will worry most about? They do okay and then say, that's fine, I've tried school, enjoyed it, I'd like to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have bumps with that with kids where they just decide they're tired, they're hungry, or they just think that they have the power and autonomy to decide that they're not going. I think what's really, really important is that if a child of any age, not just someone that's, you know, 5, because this could happen at 6, 7 or 8 year olds too, is that we ensure that consistency, that not going to school is not something that's up for negotiation, no matter how upset they get. And parents, I think, have to trust their instincts on this. You know, every one of us, I assume, have tried at some stage to pull a sickie and to go, look, I don't feel well. But parents, and particularly mums, I think, know when a child is unwell versus when they're just that little bit anxious. But it's really, really important that we keep that expectation going and that consistency and routine of you need to go to school, that it's not up for debate and discussion. Because if we engage in a debate and discussion about why you should or you shouldn't, what we're doing is operating at the same level of the child. We're elevating them to adult status and saying, we're now going to negotiate whether this is going to happen or not. And that wouldn't be something that's going to be helpful to the child.
Although when you talk about those those tells that parents will be good at seeing in their kids. To some extent, school can have a dramatic effect on those. A text saying, I found my little boy loved school, but he was exhausted for the first term. The excitement and learning was a little overwhelming. So my advice to parents is to expect some mid-afternoon crashing.
Yeah, I think that's fair because it is changes, higher expectations on them. There's more kids. And I think there is also for us to be realistic that the learning, the Irish that you were just talking about, that comes way down the line. So I've spoken to the teachers, and I think for parents, maybe reassure yourself by having a chat with the teacher early on, and they'll be happy to communicate with you. So they're going to be playing. They're going to learn how to sit. They're going to learn how to pay attention. Teachers don't expect that they're going to come in and expect to be sitting there for hours on end, paying attention, not saying anything. These are skills over the first year for junior infants and senior infants that they will learn cumulatively over time.
There's a text asking for a bit of advice from you, Mark, saying, my little boy is very apprehensive about school. He fretted a lot in preschool for the first 6 months, and it took a long time to settle in year two. Any tips on making it less scary and less apprehensive?
I think one of the most important things is that a lot of them worry about, will you be back? Will you forget me? Will you come back on time? So particularly that first week to 2 weeks, that reassurance piece, not reassuring them that you will be on time, but be on time. So I know lots of parents where they can, especially maybe working from home, are making sure that they will be there those first couple of days to pick them up. And the more that they internalize that sense of, okay, mom or dad, whoever it's going to be, comes on time, they're always there, even a minute or two, a little bit early. Because if you're a minute or two late and they're sitting there thinking, worrying, or what's happened, is something going to go wrong, are they going to come? So the more we can internalize the sense of predictability and consistency for them, routine consistency, you can't overemphasize that and the importance. And that's why teachers manage, I mean, think about this, you've got a teacher who's taken in 28 to 35 year olds. Now, to me, that's my worst nightmare. I'd never be able to do it. But teachers do it, and they do it well. And the reason they do it well, because it's consistent. The child knows they come in, the routine is always the same. And in a young child, routine gives them a sense of safety and security.
We've been speaking about this, Sinead, throughout, from the premise that parents will find this a deeply difficult emotional wrench, and given the choice, would much rather be able to keep their kids with them for every day, all day. Can I ask you about a text that has come in, and whether or not you think it might be a common attitude? It says, am I the only mum who is always delighted when the kids return to school? The holidays are exhausting, constantly keeping them busy. Do you think, Sinead, there'd be a load of parents thinking, thanks be to divine, I get a break?
Well, the happiest moment in my day is when I pick my children up from childcare, but the second happiest is when I drop them off. So there is definitely a summer fatigue. You know, we're still working, we're still trying to, as I said, provide this summer of magic. There's a lot of energy involved, and yeah, look, when that door closes and there's a bit of silence, isn't that lovely? And I think it's just about getting over these first few weeks where the anxiety is high, the emotion is high. I'm feeling it because this is her first, and it's the milestone of her moving up and growing up, you know, but yeah, I think every parent needs that a little bit of downtime too.
And what's your strategy for the school gate on the first day? Are you going to do a quick drop off and run? Will you do a hug? Will you hang around for a while? How are you going to handle that?
We haven't sat down and planned it just yet. My husband is taking he's taking 2 weeks of parents' leave. So the week before she starts, the week after she starts, so that we're both kind of, you know, there and we're not feeling as frantic as we often can be. And that there's that reassurance and consistency. So we will, yeah, we'll try and softly make a little, not too much of a fuss about it, because if we make a fuss then she thinks this is a big deal, but that we are there and we are calm and it's all prepared.
And Mark, what about that? Because we've all seen the picture where, and our thoughts are with them, a teacher has to peel a weeping child off a parent and coax them inside the school. Is there any way to handle just that one first drop off that is the ideal way to do it?
There's nothing ideal because children are unpredictable, and every parent will know that you can't predict what they're going to do. But I think if they do get upset, which is natural as it is transition, one of the really important things would be to get down to the child's level. So get down on your knees so that you're making eye contact with them and not talking down to them. Yes, give them a big hug, that reassurance piece, that physical hug, and that again, that you will be back. But it's also important to validate them, to say, look, I know this is a little bit scary, but that's okay, and that teacher will look after you and that we will be back. Another piece is to give them an idea of when you will be back. So we say, look, I'll be back at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. very few five-year-olds can read the time. So what you need to do is make it a bit more concrete. So in those first couple of days, usually it's a shortened day. I'll be back after a little break. So when you have your snack, so they think, okay, I've had my snack. This is the time. So they can tag that onto when they know that they're going to be coming there. But it's also, I suppose, that we do need to hand them off. And my third is starting next week. So myself and primarily my wife are old hats at this stage. And it's also about reassuring the parent themselves that this is not going to be a trauma that's going to come back to them in their teenage years, that mom or dad left me crying on my first day of school. I've dropped kids off to creche where they've literally hung on to me like a limpet, and the creche rings me, you know, 2 minutes later, they're playing away grand, and you think, I can't believe they put me through that. So, you know, trust in the teachers, you know, they know what they're doing, and they will, they're experienced, they've been doing this for years, and they know what to do to make your child feel safe and comfortable. And if they're really, really upset, the teacher will get back to you. But it's about believing you're leaving them in safe hands, and they will be okay.
Well, we wish the kids, parents and teachers lots of luck with the return to school. Mark Smith, clinical psychologist, thank you so much. And likewise, big thank you to Sinead O'Moore, who is a mother and host of the Stretch Marks podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
This wasn't the adventure I had in mind when you said, let's rent a car in Italy.
Relax, GPS says we're on track.
Wait, does that sign say Switzerland?
No. We should be near Sicily.
Routing.
Ugh.
Wouldn't actually enjoy your next trip, one that's completely mapped out? With Colette Small Group Explorations, you can. Our experts handle every detail, from great food to unique stays and local connections. Start your next adventure today. Visit gocolette.com. That's gocolette.com.